absolute dependence on the Lord for his help. I ask your attention to Job chapter 28 and verses 7 and 8. The 28th chapter of the book of Job, verses 7 and 8. There is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye have not seen, and the lion's whelps have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. Now there is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen, the lion's whelps have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. Let's try, as the Lord will help us, to add a few more words. How dependent we are to the Holy Spirit to shine a light from the glories of heaven, that we may have understanding, and that being led by the Spirit, it may be for your encouragement and indeed, I hope, your confirmation. We began this morning because we felt persuaded that it was so, that here in these two verses, is especially in the seventh verse, is the decrees and purposes of God. And in all that he has appointed for his people, there's nothing that could be haphazard. There is nothing which can be ever questioned or is the subject of any doubt or any fear as for the reality of this path. I know it's full of doubts and fears, but they are not concerning the path of which the Lord is the author of. It is rather than the walk and the pathway of which we shall walk. We have enough opposition from within, let alone from without, concerning this path. But if you can see this path as I trust I have been able to see it, my friends, you will find that it is of God, this pathway. And though you and I may be accosted by the devil and tempted by the devil and tried by the devil, if by his divine grace God has put you into this path, then he will uphold you in it, and step by step he'll bring you to the end of that path. If it was not of God, it could never be written like this: there is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen. If it was a path you chose for yourself, if it was a path that you mapped out for yourself, if it was a path which is agreeable to the flesh, you can never, ever expect any of the Lord's blessing within that path. Neither will you find help along it, neither can you lean upon the Lord within it. There'll be no comfort there, there'll be no helps, there'll be no supports, if that path is your own manufacture or of your own wisdom. And as I feel it is at this time, and have felt during the previous days that this has been with me, there is a divine ordering of things, and that to me is wonderful. There's a divine ordering. None can fall out and or make a shipwreck when you are found in this way, my friends, because it is so ordered and decreed and appointed and shielded, so that it is a path which leadeth unto life. We spoke of the path of the Lord Jesus this morning very briefly, perhaps far too briefly, but it was appointed for him as it is appointed for all the children of God. Not one step was too many. Not one was too hard. Not one was too difficult. It was his path, and he was appointed for that path. And in the decrees and purposes of God, he walked it out. And he walked it out for his people. We sang the first hymn. It is based upon the word in John 14. I looked at John 14 to whether to read it or not this night, this afternoon. And there we find some instruction. But it speaks very simply, as you will know, of the way. Those disciples were in need of divine instruction, the same as we all do. And we have these words. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The way, dear friends, that you and I shall walk if we are the children of God is a decreed way then, but it is a pathway which it shall be for our profit and good. If you are not in this path, you'll not know Christ. But if you and I are in this path by grace, by eternal choosing, not we choosing the path, but God choosing the path for us and putting us into it by his grace and maintaining us in that path. Because remember, my friends, what was read last Lord's Day in this house, where the good apostle speaks of the path or the way of grace, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. The path is stretched out. The path is lengthened out before every one of his people. But, my friends, it's walking it out, that path. No fowl knoweth this path, no vulture's eye hath not seen this path. The lion's whelp hath not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed over it. It is the way which he has chosen and appointed and decreed that every one of his people personally shall be walking in that path. Well, in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, then, who is the way? He, for his people, opened the way and trod that path out, and going to glory, leaves behind a people who shall follow him, be it at a distance, they feel, but shall follow him till they are brought into the eternal glories of heaven. There is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen. We spoke of the word, the pathway of sovereign grace. How it is that every one of his blessed people are called by invincible grace. I felt constrained, I hope it was right, to read that chapter or part of chapter 9 of the Acts, because we have the wonderful grace of God demonstrated. And what struck me, and whether it did you or not, I know not, but you know, the path of the apostle Paul, or the path of Saul of Tarsus, shall we say, was so remarkably and wonderfully changed. We have that he left Jerusalem, and he had within his possessions divine instructions, not divine instruction, instructions of the high priest to, or the chief priest, to hail men and women to prison who were in the way everlasting. And so he sets forth on the way. Wasn't God's way. Oh, my friends, don't ever view the way of Saul of Tarsus as a way which the Lord approved. The end was better than the beginning. The wise man said in his writings, didn't he, better is the end of the thing than the beginning. But it doesn't make the beginning right, you know. Saul of Tarsus was led of Satan, put into that way which was going to Damascus, and he was put there so that he should do Satan's work and attempt to destroy the Church of Christ. But there was an intervention, and it was a divine intervention. My friends, when you walk, you go back, some of you that believe you're called by grace, have the evidence in your soul of that remarkable change that grace brings. You set forth in life's journey, you walk this path of personal of a personal way, you would decree and appoint that this was your way and this was what it was going to be. But blessed be God, like Saul of Tarsus, my friends, when you can trace the Lord's intervention. Oh, he set forth with hatred in his heart. He set forth with to distress and to trouble God's people. He set forth with a mission, as we might put it, to try to overthrow the Church of Christ, and I'm sure that was in his heart to do so. But before he came to his destination, well, as the poet said, his heart was changed. There was a change made, and God made the change and put him in the way everlasting. That way, my friends, which leadeth unto life eternal. Wonderful when you can trace that gracious change, you know. I'm trying to find that hymn where the hymn writer speaks of that remarkable and blessed change which comes across the path of every child of God. The appointed time rolls on apace, not to propose, but call by grace to change the heart, renew the will, and turn the feet to Zion's hill. I wondered what Saul of Tarsus would have said if you had met him as he left Jerusalem, and would have said to him, now when you get there, you'll be a changed character. Well, with all the venom and spite and evil in his heart against the church, he sets forth. But you know, as in all cases of divine blessing of grace, there was that command that issued from heaven, thus far and no further. And the future steps of this blessed apostle was decreed from all eternity. The future steps. Ananias was to learn obedience. And he was to go to Saul of Tarsus. And he was to tell him what God said to him. My friend, this is the way. There is a path, and it is divinely appointed. And every one of his blood-washed family are brought into that path. They do not choose it. And they wouldn't choose it because they've not the grace to choose it. Their natural mind would not want this way which leadeth unto life. The contentment of a natural mind is this world and the things of it. But God had mercy. God had chosen Saul of Tarsus out of Adam's lost race, and had appointed a time and a place when he shall enter into the way everlasting. Well, he was to know what he was. He was to know what he was to walk out by what the dear Lord said to Ananias. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. He went from the broad way to the narrow way. He went from Satan's broad pathway of destruction to that gospel narrow way which leads unto heaven. There is a path which no fowl knoweth, of which the vulture's eye hath not seen. Now, my friends, every vessel of mercy is little or much brought into the same gracious teaching, there must be a change, or else this would not be a right path. The change is made by God, the path is set before his people, the pathway to life, the pathway to glory, the pathway to untold blessing, undescribable blessing, a pathway which is strewn with trials, troubles, afflictions, oppositions, and most of that comes from within. I said this morning that the way is a path of peace and a path of joy and of comfort. My friends, I'm not going back on what I said. The ways of grace are blessedness. The ways of grace known and walked out by a child of God is sacred seasons. Sacred seasons. Oh, my friends, when you're in the way everlasting and the Lord shines on your soul and shines on your pathway and love is poured into the heart, there's a willingness to walk this way. And there's a love to Christ and to his people that they shall walk this way willingly, so they overlook, as we might say, or do not see the many obstacles that are put in that way. Oh, it's a blessed path because it is the way the saints have trod from Adam's day to this. But as I said, every one of the children of God have a personal path. We would call it a path of experience. Some are led in the depths and some in the heights. Some in the lengths and some in the breadths. But the Lord is sovereign in what he teaches and how he teaches. And he's also sovereign in this respect, my friend, so that you and I don't lean on someone else. If all our pathways and experience were identical, we would then soon start to compare, as it were, to those things which others had, and we would not lean on our beloved. And I said this morning, I would say it again too, my friends, the way that the Lord's people walk is personal. It is not for you nor me to ever to seek to find that, as we might indeed be tempted, that their way was a little more easier than ours. You don't know, and I don't know either, the depths of which such walk, whose outward appearance might seem to be more free and easy than ours is. You know, when Christian, in that account of the pilgrimage to heaven, he was walking a rough and rugged path and he espied another way, and it looked better. It looked better. And we read he climbed over the hedge to this other path, and for a while it seemed to be quite convenient to his nature. And then he realized that it wasn't going the same way. It was turning back towards the city of destruction, and he had to return the way he came and go back into the path which he was originally on. Oh, it is a temptation, you know, to look at other people's pathways and say, well, it's much more easier than mine. Well, you don't know. There is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen. But blessed be God, it's appointed way. But oh, that way itself, what is needed? My friends, the Lord grant you grace. I know this, and in the early days of blessings, when the Lord is pleased to come and bring you into the liberty of the gospel, you see not the hardship of the way, and neither do you realize the depths of evil that is to be known in the against you as one called by grace. When the Lord smiles, you know, on his people, and his enemies are silenced, then they, if they're not very careful, can be lulled into a state of indifference, and they could say, well, if this is the way to heaven, well, I can well walk it. Now your pathway will not be any different from Jesus Christ, other than in the intensity of it. But what will you and I need to walk in this path? There is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen. Well, my friends, I tell you this, what you need is not in yourself. Not in yourself. Oh, those words came, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of his righteousness, even of his only. It will be a way, my friends, where grace is needed and where grace is sought for. It will be your prayer and exercise of soul, my friends, if you are found in the way everlasting, that you will depend on his grace. Grace will put you in the way, that's saving grace. But grace will enable you to walk out that way which is appointed for you. That narrow way which leadeth unto life. That way which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen. My friends, it's an evidence of the right way if you find it to be much need of grace. I said to you before, I mean, many years ago, I heard a minister say, and it's remained with me, if you are where the Lord would have you be, it'll be a way you can't manage. And I've proved it again and again. I was almost to say, I'd prove it every day. Well, at least every time I go out to speak in the Lord's holy name, it's a way you can't manage. But, oh, blessed be God who put his people in the way, he will maintain it in the way. And he'll maintain it by his grace. Because the way being as it is, leading unto life, will be a way of difficulty and a way of hardship, a way of trial. And there are parts of the way, you know, and I was going to say, nearly the majority of the way, maybe, I cannot and must not try to impress what is not according to the scriptures upon you. But you know, there will be times in that way when it will be dark. And then what, my friends? You will not only need grace, but you will need faith. Because I do believe there will not be any gain in the way, any profit in the way, when we are sometimes willing to halt. The hymn writer said, the way I walk cannot be wrong if Jesus be but there. But what when it's a dark way? When you can't see a hand in front of you as far as spiritual things are concerned, what is it then when it is like we quoted this morning from John chapter 6, it was now dark and Jesus had not come. Because it is dark, do you stand still? My friends, do you stand still just because it's dark? Every step of the way is appointed, whether it's in the dark or in the light. Oh, his way was much rougher and much darker than mine. But my friends, your way, though it is dark, is still the right way. And it will be, my friends, when you will find the need of grace and faith more. And sometimes we have to find this, that struggling on in the way, it is looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That is the only way I find we must go on. Now, what is there in the way to cheer? What is there in the way that is of any comfort or consolation to us? Well, not only the presence of the Lord Jesus may be found at times to be our comfort and our strength, but here and there he will drop a word in season. Here and there he will drop great and precious promises to encourage the people of God as they go along this way. Promises which will suit your soul's experience. Promises which you'll have to use before the throne of grace and plead. a word in season that shall cheer you, though the way be as rough and as hard and as difficult still. Oh, this pathway, my friends, the Lord is pleased to encourage his people by his word and by his promises. And akin to this pathway too is a path of exercise, because that is indeed in union to the way in which the Lord will have his people walk. A path of exercise, a path where there will be, as it were, an inquiring unto the Lord, what is the way for to walk, and what is the and the grace that is needed for to walk in that way. I know this by experience, my friends, that where there is an exercise, there will be a constant eye upon God and a constant looking unto him for guidance and direction, so that you may not be left to misunderstand the way, or that you might be left to go in your own strength and in your own wisdom. If the Lord exercises you in this way, my friends, you will listen for his voice, you will wait on him for direction. So often people find words suitable, you know, and they snatch at scriptures, and they steal a word which seems so suitable to the occasion which they're in, and in the strength of that they go. My friends, it's such a sacred time when there is an exercise in the soul, and you want to know if it is the will and purposes of God, and in what direction does it take. And it may be too that when the Lord reveals the way to you, you find that within you you have that fear because of the way. Oh, I thought of those words, which are they not on the calendar? And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Fear not nor be dismayed. Although the way may be indeed rough as it sometimes is, my friends, though the way is dark as it sometimes is, and though it's a way which is impossible, my friends, and it's always impossible to old nature, if you're in the way everlasting, it ever will be impossible to nature. But these are the blessings and these are the comforts, a word in season to help you on the way, and a word which will be the strength that enables you to continue. There is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen. And that blessed gift of faith, which is of God, which, my friends, will see the way set before you, will be sometimes a tried faith. When you think of those times in the scripture, you know, my mind went to Gideon, the man that God raised up to overthrow the Amalekites. Or was it all the Midianites? The Midianites, I think it was. Well, the angel came to Gideon and spoke very encouragingly. And Gideon said, "If the Lord be with us, why is all this befallen us?" Israel had sinned, that's why it had befallen them. This is why they were in the hands of the Midianites, because Israel had sinned. They were deprived of even their stuff that they grew. They were in captivity under the Midianites. They were hemmed in and they were unable to go about in the freedom of Israel should. And God raised up a man called Gideon. Now, in that remarkable occasion in Gideon, you know, I've sometimes felt that he is very descriptive too of all those whom God raises up, even in gospel times. I think of those words when I sent you without purse or scrip or shoes, lacked ye anything, and they said nothing. Well, Gideon was raised up, and he had all those thousands that came to him that was going to be his help. And in the end, he won the battle with 300 men. My friends, if you're in this way, you may wonder how it is that you seem to have no reserve. No reserve of spiritual strength. No reserve of faith. No store of grace. You know, you set out on what you may say is a journey here. Well, you take all you want with you. I went to a chapel once to preach, and I let it out that the text I got was when I parked my car in the car park. And the man said to me afterwards, "I'm a carpenter," he said, "and when I go to do a job, I take everything with me." And I said, "Well, you're not a preacher, because I have to wait for mine." That's just a simple illustration, my friends. Do you wonder sometimes when you look at this pathway which you have a hope that the Lord has put you in? A pathway which stretches before you into the unknown. A one that you step day by day into. The pathway of experience. And then you wonder that you've got so little. Or you think you've got so little, as it were, to be your strength or your comfort or your help. And it is a pathway which you go, and to use the expression that people understand, a hand-to-mouth existence. My friends, it doesn't alter the fact that the way the Lord directs his people is a way which is right. But it's a total way of dependence. You ask any minister of the gospel where their store is. You know, when we write out engagements for the year, 52 weeks of preaching, weeknight and Sabbath day. My friends, where is their store? It's not within them. They go dependent on their God. And so will you if you're in this way. You take little with you. You rest on little. There is no place in this pathway for props or supports other than the Lord himself. His word will be your strength. His presence will be your comfort. His grace will be all sufficient. And his mercy shall be seen day by day. But it's a path of absolute dependence. You know, that poet says this: "Depend on me, thou canst not fail. Make all thy wants and wishes known. Fear not, his merit will prevail. Ask what thou wilt, it shall be done." Oh, my friends, the path is so opposite to nature. There is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen. The lion's whelps have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. It is so totally opposite to nature. I said this morning too that the professor, in all his emptiness and yet in all his zeal, is not in this path. The unregenerate, of course, are not in this path. I will go in the strength of the Lord God, as we mentioned this just now, my friends, this way that you'll walk in this path. Your cry will be, "How shall I stand a trying day?" But the answer is, "As thy days, so shall thy strength be." There is a path which no fowl knoweth. It's wonderful, my friends, really, it is wonderful. Because what does it reveal to those in the way? Well, it will reveal their insufficiency, of course. It will reveal their poverty. It will reveal their nothingness. And it will reveal also, my friends, that they shall fail ere long. That's how they feel. But it also reveals a faithful God. A faithful God. And oh, that's the blessing of this way, you know. oh, whatever is in it. It wouldn't be right to say you'll find this and that as obstacles, this and that as crooks in the lot, this and that as hard places, because, as I said, it's personal. What is in my path isn't in yours, and yours I'm not walking in. And you're not walking in mine. But be sure of this, that you will learn along the way absolute dependence. And you'll learn along the way too, and that this way shall be because of his faithfulness, his goodness, his unchangeable nature. Oh, the wonder of wonders, my friends. I was given a promise when I was received into the church, and this was the promise: be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, my friends, you, in the heights of the blessing of his grace, you may say, well, now that's all I need. And really, that is all you need. But you will find this, my friends, that the pathway shall be such that you'll have to go back to those times, and you'll have to tell the Lord his promises. You remember what it says, or you can recall what is written in the heart of Psalm 119. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction. There is a way which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen, and the lion's whelps have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. I want to just say a moment or two of the ordinances of God's house. There is a path. And whether it is in the ordinances of God's house, or whether it is in the exercise of your soul, and I mean that by God working an exercise in your soul concerning the pathway that you are to walk. Remember the word which we read in Acts 9. Remember what the dear apostle, in his very dark and distressing state, as being called by grace, and he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Yes, in chapter 10 also, there is an account there, quite remarkable, where a certain man, a centurion named Cornelius, saw a vision. And in that vision, he was a godly man, was Cornelius. In that vision, an angel spoke to him. And we read these words: thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. I've often thought, and you must also have these thoughts, the angel didn't tell him. The angel was not to tell him. He was doing God's service, the angel. He was speaking for God, on God's behalf. He was speaking to Cornelius. And like this one in this verse in the ninth chapter, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And I say it in absolute reverence, dear friends, the Lord Jesus knew what he was to do, because he appoints all his servants. He appointed the apostles, and he knew what the apostles' pathway was to be. Now, whether it is that, or whether it is the ordinances of God's house, you know, there is one word which is very, very necessary to remember. Remember the way which the Lord will teach you and guide you along the spiritual path. Remember those things which will be the evidence of the pathway. But you know, as we walk along that way, my friends, not in our own strength, but in the comfort of the knowledge that the Lord is with us, there is this blessing, my friends, this blessed word, and it's called obedience. It's something, my friends, which faith will lay hold of. It is something that grace is needed to fulfill. What the Lord says for you and I to do, you and I will need grace to do it. But there is also this. If you are in this way, my friends, it isn't you will be put into the way by persuasion or by any means which is so contrary to his grace, but he will be as he is pleased to come and constrained by his love. Now, when the Lord does that, you know, when he constrains, when he works in the soul by his love, he fulfills what is written in the psalm. In the psalm we read this: thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Now, in the fulfillment of those words, my friends, it will be by the constraining and sacred influence, by the love of Christ working within. And those that have felt his love, and I use a word you all understand, my friends, the word is motivate. That's a very popular word in business. But it is also a word that is to prove the influence of love in the soul of God's dear people. It moves them. And it moves them into obedience. It constrains them into obedience. There is a path, my friends, and it is a path of obedience. Whether it's in the ordinances of his house, or whether it is in the exercise of the soul in any place or spot of the churches, in the church of God, what the Lord will have you to do, he will constrain by his love in your soul to do it, and to do it willingly and not to count the cost. Well, the time seemed to have gone quicker than I thought it would. And there is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen, the lion's whelp hath not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. But there's one thing I want to say, my friends. It is the pathway of a child of God has got one or two things which make it to be his path. And first of all, you know, it is a path which is to be walked in the world, and sometimes before the world. But it is also a path which is secret. And that secret is between the soul and God. It is so because then no man could put his hand to it. No man should ever try to put his hand to it. But the Lord in secret will so lead and teach his people in this path. You find a child of God, you know, you only see the outward appearance. You see his attendance on the house of God, and if he is called by invincible grace, you see the way he walks according to the scriptures of truth, my friends, but you don't know the secret parts of his pathway, the secrets of his soul, that is before God, and God alone, and no one else, can put their hand to it, or indeed try to persuade in any other way. But it is a path decreed and appointed. Well, I must leave the word, because the ordinance is before us. But oh, may it please the Lord that you and I might examine our path to see whether it lines up, to see whether it agrees with the holy word of God, to see whether these evidences and these tokens that we have spoken of. This path leads to life, and it leads to glory. And everyone in the path will come home safe to glory at last. Amen.
Notice is today, Mother, God willing, there will be a prayer meeting on Wednesday evening. Mr. Hadley will preach next Lord's Day. Let's close the preaching service with hymn 544. Nature can no man be just, since all are conceived in sin. No room is now left us to boast, for works cannot God's favour win. But such who in Jesus believe are justified freely by grace. United to Jesus their head, he's made unto them righteousness. Hymn 544.
Sit at thy table again. Oh, make it to be a place where thou art. May we be brought to obedience, to not to do it out of duty nor habit, to do it out of obedience, out of love to Jesus. Oh, forgive now all that's been amiss, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and always. Amen.